I've selected hymns tonight that have to do with the Word of God, the Bible, in contradistinction to subjective feelings. I feel this is what we should do, or God told me this is what we should do. It's called mysticism. But I want to show us the importance, show us together the importance of the Word of God versus feelings. And so if you'll sing with me some of these hymns together, the first being "Most Perfect is the Law of God." It's 450.
Yeah.
Now turn back one page, would you, to 447. Blessed are the undefiled in heart. 447. And the Word of God does as number 667 says, it's a lamp to my feet, 671.
I might not sin against thee.
Let's have prayer. Our Father, we're grateful tonight that we have one who is our mediator, making intercession for us in our behalf, and the blessedness of our Lord Jesus and all of his wonderful attributes and all his work for us, and his giving of his Spirit, the Spirit of God. We pray tonight that you would take control and that the word may be a blessing to us and that we might be strengthened in the salvation you have given to these who are here tonight and those who yet need to be saved. We pray you'd work in hearts and that we might be even drawn closer in the matter of sanctification. Bless us, we pray, for we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, and I want to go back over verses 18 and 19, and you will not find much repetition, because I want to deal with a subject that I touched upon, but I want to give a little more application of that, and it has to do with mysticism. And then, back in Colossae, and presently, as it is in our evangelical churches, they had a problem with it back there, and we have a problem with it here. And so I suppose the best place to do is start out, what do you mean by mysticism? And have to turn to Mr. Webster, and I'll give a little concise definition of mysticism from Webster. He says it's spiritual truth by subject experiences, or subjective experiences. Looking for truth within, subjective experiences, to let feeling tell you in your heart. It's not objective truth, but subjective truth. Now, that's just kind of a little resume of what Webster says about it, but I thought I'd just share that with you. So we're talking about this idea that... going by feelings. And we have plenty of that. It's a mixture, you know, that church at Colossae, they had a problem with the Judaizers, and they'd say you got to be circumcised and you got to keep the ceremonial laws. And then the legalists, they came along and they said, well, you if you really want to be saved, you got to do these things. So legalism has to do with your own effort. And to act upon it, and it's perfecting your faith, or the by flesh, and so we talked about that. But I want us to look at these two verses again, verse 18 and 19, and see how they may apply as it was back then and now it is today. And there we are commanded that no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. And worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And then verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Now, this business of mysticism in the church today, evangelical churches, like our own, the idea of looking at this matter, it says, now listen, don't let anyone, stop letting anybody messing around with you as far as mysticism. That's what it is. It's a command. I want you to get the point of that. And he said, don't tolerate them. They try to run your life. And they said, God told me this. God spoke to me. I saw him. He came into my bedroom. I saw him at the bottom of my bed, and there is the Lord. And they go into all these kinds of things, and you can't question it. God told me. And the church is taken in with this on the TV. Of course, I say that from time to time, but it's true. And that is, each person has their own authoritative inner light. And you can't do it. It's my inner light. It says what it'll do to you. It'll beguile you of your reward, and that is the business of a prize. There's a reward for running. And he said, you're just going to lose it if you mess around with these kind of people who keep telling you these things. And in the realm of mysticism, you're going to lose joy. In fact, if we look at the third chapter in verse 15, you can see maybe a little more of what that may mean. And that is in the manner that the peace of God, that's a reward, that the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God to rule. You see, you listen to this influence, and it'll take away your peace of God. And you'll not be growing spiritually either. It's their own rules, and you can't question them. But it says, verse 19, you better just put it down black and white that they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 19. Well, they talk about God. They use the Bible. What do you mean they don't have a relationship with the Bible? The Word of God tells us that they do not hold the head or not holding the head, and that they just don't have any relationship with the Lord. Talking about the need to go back under the law and talking about your inner feelings and God said, told me this and God told me that. It goes contrary to the Word of God. It's pretty serious. To go over this again a little bit, you know, there is a matter of that they found in the church there, the teaching of self-abasement. And it was brought out, and I think it's very good. The Bible does talk about humility. So don't think that, and there are good parts about this. The Bible also talks about the matter of holding to the Word of God. But this self-abasement, it has connection with worshiping of angels. Let me try to explain that to you, how mysticism works. They say, you know, the angels are created higher than the human beings. Yeah? And the angels have access to the throne of God. Yeah? Well, I'm a nobody. And if they have that kind of access to God and they're higher creatures than we are, well, I think we need to realize that we talk to them about matters. And they will help us. Now, you can go out pretty far on a limb on some of these things. And they were going pretty far on this. But, you know, it's always kind of a strange thing to me that the Bible says when the people of God and the saints of God meet together as a church that the angels are here. They're invisible. And they're learning. See, man, you've been around a long time, folk. I don't know what you expect to get from us. We're just traveling through the time period. And as the book says, 24 hours closer to death than we were yesterday at this time. But I don't know what they can learn from us. But you see, it may be to see how we really are accepting the truths of the Word of God and whether we really know the Lord. But anyway, the self-abasement is, there it is in the scripture that in verse 18, these people were saying, well, you need to practice this asceticism. You're really nobody. And since you're a nobody, then you need to go through, you need to go by way of worshiping angels, addressing angels, and even falling down before them is the thought there in the second part of verse 18, is to bow before them. And I must remind you that I mentioned to you Revelation 19 and verse 10, and you probably ought to turn there because you're going to need to have some fortification in some realms. And the beloved Apostle John, as he was in the presence of an angel, he did this in verse 10 there. What did he do? He fell at his feet to worship him. And what did the angel say? He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then if you go to the next, or chapter 22, rather, I think it's verse 9, it's the same thing again in verse And he said, Revelation 22, verse 9, "Then said he, that is, saith the angel unto me, see thou do it not, because he fell down to worship." The previous verse, and when he saw this, these things, he heard them. "And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of the book, worship God." Now, they were doing contrary to that, and they were teaching it. If you really want to be a real strong Christian, you have to get some help through the mediation of angels. We don't have that today. I mean, there's nothing. We don't do anything like that today. So you might as well just quit and go home. The preacher said something about this mysticism, the inner feelings, and so forth. Then and now, well, I couldn't hardly believe it. And we got home rather yesterday, and turned on, after working all day, I turned on the TV to look at a film. It was about, called Dad, about a businessman that his dad went into a coma, and he showed his affection for his dad. Well, his dad died eventually. It was a pretty good movie. I guess I fell asleep, but his dad died, and my dude was waking up to see that he had his ashes, and he was holding his dad's ashes. I never saw this before. And he was saying, "Dad, you know, I'm going to miss you and all." He was talking to the ashes. Now, it's one thing to see him do it at the grave, but I never saw anybody talk to the ashes of a person by cremation. You say, well, what does that have to do? It's this whole idea that you can talk to the dead, and that's called necrology. Talk to dead, and that's, the Bible teaches against that. But to go ahead and do it, and it seemed like a nice thing to do. And you can talk to the saints. The saints of God, they have a place now. They can be function as a mediator, go to Mary. And, you know, it's just something, if you just let this thing think this thing through, it really gets to you. Because we live in a day where it says you got to be more tolerant. And, you know, you can't be hard-nosed. Come on. Take a break a little bit. Then they had this business also in Colossians there. The third thing was a matter of visions. In verse 18 there. They said, well, I'm too humble. I'm real humble, and I got to be more humble. And so since I'm humble, I have to go to the greater powers, to the angels. I have to go to the saints. I have to go to Mary, Mother of God. And so this self-abasement, a false humility. But it says, if you're taken up with that, you need to realize the latter part of verse 18. Wake up. It's saying to you, no, this business of doing all that in the previous three sections of the first of the Psalm, or verse 18, he said, you know, this business of going out of the way and in great details talking about they saw this, the visions, that basically the last part of that verse says it's just empty wind. It's hot air. You say, well, that's pretty plain. Yes, it is. It's just inflated. It gives the idea that I'm really a super Christian. If I can tell you, God said this to me. God told me this. I saw the Lord. It makes you the idea that you really are. He said, they were just talking about humility, but it works contrary to humility. Hey, I really talked to the Lord. I mean, the Lord's talked to me. You know, I haven't been very many times that I've watched Benny. I have watched him a few times. I'm sorry, Lord, but I did a few times. And what a character. He talks so familiar. He said, the Lord said to me, and I said, well, Lord, no, I can't do that. He said, well, now you listen to me, I'm God. And he said, well, yeah, then you're God. Oh, come on. And people go for that thing. I mean, look at the followers he has. Or go down to Florida where there's supposed to be some kind of a revival going on. You go down there and get to be a real fast, strong Christian. You know, I was stopped in to get a couple of hamburgers yesterday at a fast food place. We had to wait. I thought, well, this is really something. You wait a few minutes. Usually, don't you get some, give your money and get your hamburgers and get out of there? Well, we had to wait. But we have this idea spiritually. And listen to me. It's hard work. What's hard work? To study the Word of God. Is it really? Yeah, it's hard work. If you're going to do a job. I don't have time for that. I'm a busy man. But I tell you what, I'm open to hear how God can speak to me, and I can see God, or he does something for me, and I'll go down to one of these meetings, and I'll get, fast food, fast Christianity. I'll rub against some of those people down there, and I'll become a powerful Christian. I'll go all the way up to Toronto to one of those airport things, or I'll go down to Florida, and that'll make me a strong Christian. Tell me what the Bible says. The Bible says, listen, don't do it. Verse 18. That's a realm that they really don't know what they're doing. And there's like John Boyd, who was president of Toronto Baptist or Jarvis Street Baptist Church. He talked about these matters. And the man who wrote about George Whitefield says, all satanic. Satanic. Well, the Bible says, verse 18, the last part, what it really is just in proud, vain, vainly puffed up, inflated, and it's just simply fleshly mind. It's on spiritual, it's sinful, it's humanistic, it's all speculative, and it's not right. It's just someone who has a little wit of flesh, and maybe a gift of gab, and can wing things a little bit spiritually, and it's just fleshly. Well, I could stop right there and say, okay, maybe I'll get to that, because it's just overwhelming when somebody says, I saw the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm supposed to do this. Well, if it coincides with the Word of God, that's one thing, but it's just to draw it out of the air, and I had a deacon do that at a church, and I almost fell off my chair. We were in a board meeting, and we were trying to decide something. He said, God told me that this is what we should do. That settles a whole board action, doesn't it? We shouldn't go any further. And I said to him, I said, Jay, that does not concord with the Word of God. Boy, you talk to dignitaries like that. Deacon, you know. He was really upset. I said, what you just promoted, that does not accord with the Word of God. That matter is not settled. You talk about being hard-nosed about matters, but that's what you got to do if it's contrary to the Word of God. You know, the church has gotten away from that old truth called sola scriptura, which means the Bible only. I just feel so badly that we have gone down the road and we have now a Mariolatry. And I don't want to pick on Mary, but hey, that the past Pope, he made a big deal about it. He said he got 100,000 petitions every month. Now, who, the old geezer that passed away? 100,000 petitions every month to make Mary a redemptorist. A co-redeemer with the Lord Jesus. That's petitions. And he was really in favor of Mary. Well, I'm not against Mary, but, you know, if you're going to put her alongside of the Lord Jesus as co-redeemer, Anna, come on now. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a mysticism of going by feelings and not by the Word of God. And saying, well, I think it's fine. She's a wonderful person. Well, no, there's your feelings. That's mysticism. Let's see, it would have to be a holy quartet, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would have to be a holy quartet, not a trinity. You'd have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Mary. That's going to change theology a little bit. But the feminists at one time, they were not in favor of Mary. But they've changed their mind about Mary. She's got power. And I don't know whether you know this, but the Roman Catholic Church hasn't changed its doctrine. In spite of the fact that there's a movement to have an agreement between Protestants and the Catholics, when such guys as Chuck Colson, some of you remember that politician who said he got saved, and I'm probably he did, I hope, and J.I. Packer, and that just blows me away. J.I. Packer, I went to hear him in Philadelphia years ago. He did an excellent job, except he read his sermons. He didn't read a paper. But I've enjoyed J.I. Packer. But and Bill Bright, some of these fellows, Bill's now dead, but they were teaching that we need to get together, the Roman Catholics and the Protestants. I mean, they're pretty big men. Is there anything wrong with that? It certainly is. It's not the Word of God. It's feelings. Most of the things with Catholicism has to do with feelings. And we're going down that. The Evangelical Church, Ken Knighton is telling about some of the folk that he knows that he went to school with, and now they're Roman Catholics. Graduated from a good Presbyterian school. There's a movement back to, the Bible says that the daughters will go back to their mother. She's referred to as the old whore. You see, well, that's shocking. Hey, well, read it for yourself if you think that's shocking. And you see that in the last days, you see, there was the first Eve, okay, and there was the first Adam, yes. Now we have the second Adam, and now we have the new Eve. You like that? Now we have a new Eve. It's Mary. And they put her in that kind of a category. Why are you doing this? I'm telling you, you need to see that Colossians 2, 18 and 19 is applicable for us now, the day in which we're living. It hasn't died. It's, if anything, it's increased. And the thing of it is, with the people are doing this and accepting it, that and they're in that same verse, it talks about, and it has reference to visions. They're intruding to those things which you've not seen, things that, and there are those who feel that word not should be removed, that they intruding to those which the things they have seen, which has to do with visions. Subjectively, again, out of an experience. Where's the objective? You can talk about feelings all day long. I feel this. I think this. It should be this way. I feel this. I feel. Hey, wait a minute. What's the Word of God? Well, I don't have time to study the Word of God, but I do believe that that's the way it should be. See, there it is. There it is. Yeah, the more experience you have, the less truth you'll find. And it's dangerous. It amounts to just kind of story theologies. You hear this story from this guy and this from this woman, women preachers and so forth, experiences, stories, and this and that. This person was raised and so forth. And that's a kind of theology. Where is the Word of God? Paul said, I tell you, what we really need is verse 19. And first of all, I get the idea and understand they're not really saved. They're not holding the head. They don't have part of Christ. Not holding the head. And he said, the thing of it is that it's from Christ that the church, the body, we read about that in Colossians 1, the church is the body, and Christ is the head. And he said, all parts of the church, and they need to, they're cared for, there's nourishment. And I mentioned to you the matter of fellowship. There is this matter of being joined together, united together, have contact with one another, and meet together. That takes labor. You know, I'm sympathetic. I live here. But I, for years and years, when I was younger, I traveled distance to go to church. I know something about it. It takes some effort. But if you take verses like Colossians 2:19, it is telling you that there is strength in this. There's a nourishment. There's a being cared for and knit together. And you'll get the increase of God. What do you want? The increase of men? Well, then let's have a Christian rock program. That'll get a crowd in. And I'm not just saying that. It will. No. Verse 19, the last part, said, listen, the growth that you want the growth of God. You want the increase of God. He's the one that gives the real godly growth, not inflated, windy growth. Inflated, all puffed up. I'd like us to turn to Romans chapter 8 just for a few minutes. We've got a few more minutes here yet. I know I'm recapping some of the things I gave Sunday morning, but hey, listen, you can't just know everything just by one little sermon. There's more to the Word of God than that and needs to be studied. But in Romans chapter 8, I want to look at a few verses here. Take a look at verse 6. Now, what does it have to do? It's trying to show us the dangers of mysticism. And it says, for to be carnally minded is death. And don't mess with it. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's for me. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Look at verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, it's just too bad that sometimes we aren't just forthright and somebody gives us a big spiel. God told me. He said this to me. And I saw the Lord and say, you know, that's a bunch of baloney. You say, you daresn't talk about spiritual things like that. But you ought to tell them right to their face. Why? Because the Word of God says that such people who are teaching that and ruling on you like an umpire, it says, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to do this. And he said, and you've got to be humble because, and you need to go through the angels because they have powerful beings. You got to go through Mary. You got to do this or do that. So many Hail Marys or whatever it is. And he said, and the matter of seeing the visions and so forth, he says it's hot air, it's just being puffed up, it's fleshly. Now go to Romans 8 and look at it again. If it's fleshly, do you want to mess with it? Because it says in verse 6 that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind, that is a fleshly mind, is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, you can argue with it if you want to. But I would advise you that you need to see that all this that is talking about religion is not just what you think it is. It says they don't hold to the head. You say, well, there are some of those things that are good. Why don't you talk about the right things that, you know, the church is teaching that abortion is wrong and so forth. Why don't you talk about some of the things that's good? The example of the scripture is, he's not talking about the things that are right. He's talking about what's wrong. And in Colossians' case, that situation which they were doing, he says it's wrong. And in today's evangelical churches that's going on, it's wrong. Now, there may be some good things going on. But he says it's as a vine. They're not part of the vine. They're branches. They, you know, I read somewhere that human beings are as lazy as they can get away with. I thought, boy, that's really tough. Some people work hard. But I think there's truth to that. I think we can say about ourselves as Americans, we'd be as lazy as we can get away with. Well, we invent things. You say, what's wrong with that? No, I'm just saying, I'm not going to do it that way. I don't even think that farmers even have pitchforks anymore, manure forks, skid loaders. Well, that's smart. Okay, yeah, you're dumb. You're only using a pitchfork. You're dumb. Okay, that's fine. But shortcut is so important today. It's so important to have a shortcut. Why do I have to go to a Bible study? Why do I have to go to preaching? Why do I just let it go? Just have Jesus. Don't have anything, no doctrine. Go by your feelings. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. That's not the way God has mapped it out for us. You look for a shortcut. You want to be lazy. Don't read the Word of God. Don't pay attention to what's being taught. And I'll tell you what. You'll find out that you won't have Christian maturity. You won't be strong. The Bible talks about me being more Christ-like. You're just doing the cutout on it. You don't pay attention. I say there's consequences of disobedience. And the Bible is talking about it. Said, just forget about this instant growth. Microwave Christianity. Just forget about it. Because that's not what the Word of God is teaching. And it won't bring about a real maturity about Christian life. You say, well, I don't have an appetite for the Bible. It's too hard for me. I just don't have time. I'm a busy. Okay, then be a baby forever. Have to have your little nookies drinks, you know, little bottle. And then can't handle any meat. Just babies, milk. But that's not what God wants us to be, friends. Just not what he wants us to be. He says, I command you. Look at it. Let no man beguile you. That's a command. And so we need to pay attention to what the Word of God says. And that is, if we really, when we stand before the Lord, sure, it takes effort, it takes time, but it's eternal values. And we're going to stand before the Lord, each one of us, each one of us. He said, what did you do? Well, Lord, I was a busy man, I was a busy woman. You were. I did ask you to study. And you chose maybe to go the easy route and let these false teachers who don't even know the Lord be your guide and your instruction. And he said, you didn't pay attention to me. I wouldn't want to hear that. All right. I think I'll just let it go there for the moment. Again, I'd like to say to you that realm of mysticism is just kind of an introduction. There's more to that than you think, friends, that's being done today, even as it was done back 2,000 years ago. Perhaps you have a thought of this matter of mysticism and the dangers to believers. Had a man say to me yesterday, he said, you know, Jesus, he was only half Jew. I said, what? Jesus is only half Jew. Oh. The other half was the Holy Spirit. Hey, like that. You say, well, that sounds reasonable. Hey, this is, we get some strange ideas. And I know. I was at the hospital and was sitting there waiting for Shirley to have some exams and so forth, or tests. And here's the preacher. He said, I'm going back to the early fathers, the Greek Orthodox Church. He's a Lutheran preacher. He said, I'm going to go back to the Greek Orthodox Church and follow the teachings of the church fathers. People are going back to the Catholic Church. And see, what's wrong with that? Now you answer that. It's just a shame how we just get snuckered into this business of mysticism. It's all right. Don't get upset about anything. Our Father, once again, we thank you for your precious word. And although it's hard for us sometimes to take it, because it goes against our carnal, our fleshly ways and thinking, the way we've been educated, the way we've been instructed in the government schools, and Lord, how we are instructed by the way of modern media, films, teachings that we hear from different individuals who are powerful in their own rights, but they're antichrist. They are teaching things that are contrary to our blessed Lord and taking his place. Help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, even individually and collectively as a church. For we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Now, I promised Sunday about this letter from Joel and the testimony of one of the ladies. And so I'm going to read it. It's five paragraphs. They're short paragraphs. This is a testimony of sister, and I'm going to try to pronounce her name. The first part is J-A-Y-A-L-A-K Shem. J-A-L-A-K-Shem. J-A-L-A-K-Shem. Okay, that's my try. He's talking about the meeting that they had. He said, we had a wonderful meeting with over 150 people in attendance. This is Brother Joel speaking. Many non-Christians came and they heard the testimonies of how the Lord saved several of the members of our church from spiritual darkness and deadness. Sister J. Lekashema, her testimony was especially touching. And here it is, basically. The Lord saved her last year. And she had never shared the details of her testimony before, as she had on the 15th. She's married with two children, 12 and 10. They live in the house opposite to our church. She's from a staunch Hindu family, and her husband is a drunkard and a wife beater. She's the only one who earns to run her family, and last year she was on the verge of committing suicide. So when she got up on the terrace of her house to end her life, she looked across the street and she saw our church having Thursday night prayer meeting. She was somehow compelled to come down and sit and listen. I was just then into my message and was speaking on, quote, God being the author of life, end quote. She had brought her 12-year-old daughter along to the meeting that night. Well, the things that she heard in the message that night made her to forget her suicidal thoughts. And her daughter kept reminding her over the next months whenever she was depressed about the things that she heard that night. And over the course of the next few months, she kept attending our services, and the Lord saved her in due time. She was added to our church upon profession of faith in September 2007, and she is one of the most faithful members that we have, regardless of the fact that her husband has become more hard on her since her conversion. Her 12-year-old daughter is at the forefront of memorizing and quoting scriptures among the children of our church. She and the children are always joyful to be in the presence of the Lord, regardless of their trials. I'll tell you, that's touching, friends. But her husband is even harder, and he is a drunkard and a wife beater. So how are we going to remember Sister Jay Lakisham? Just say Jay. Thank you. That's just what I was going to do. Sister Jay. And if you think about praying for her, maybe she's the one that ought to pray for us. But pray for Sister Jay and Joel. And who else and what else?
Pray for Tommy. Herbie's back again.
Oh, brother. Oh, we know about that. We know about that, Tom. Gout is very painful, isn't it? Very painful. Well, we'll pray for one another. Pray for Brother Tom and his back and the gout that he has. Who else or what else? Oh, you want to pray for that couple that was here Sunday morning? All right, come on. Why don't you tell them just a little bit? She phoned.
What?
She called. You answered the phone.
She called on Monday, and she just said that we were very happy to be here. And she said, I didn't see an offering plate, and we didn't know where to put the offering. And I said, well, we just don't take an offering. There's a box back there. Well, she didn't see the box.
She asked where the black book was, didn't she? The booklet? Didn't she ask about?
Yeah. Said,
yeah, she did.
There, where the black book was.
Oh, yeah.
I was there when they picked up the black book.
Oh, good.
And I said it. My impression of it was like when you have an older brother or an older sister or a mentor.
Yeah.
Sometime when you're acting out in life, you need somebody to grab you by the throat, and put you up against the wall, and say, "Now this is how things are." And when I said that.
Yeah.
Sonny pointed over to you. You've been doing that to him.
No, we've had a good relationship, but that's strange. It's 30-some years before they came. Yeah. At least, hadn't it been? Mm-hmm. And I've invited him regularly to come and hear the Word of God. I'll tell you this. She was raised by a foster family, and Charles Gardner was her foster father, and I knew him and sold seeds to him, and he was a nice fella. And so Mrs. was raised as a foster child, and she's talented, and she's a nurse. And so maybe you'll pray for the Fries, Harley Fry. We call him affectionately Sonny. And Shirley. Who else and what else? Yes. Pray for Bob and Peggy as they travel to North Carolina. And the weather, I trust, will be fine, Bob. I hope that rain will be gone by the time you... But that's a nice trip, North Carolina. Who else or what else?
We'll be traveling to on Friday and Saturday.
Yes. Now, we'll be singing a cappella Sunday. I'll try not to pick the... Oh, I won't be picking any hymns. That's the last Sunday of the month. You'll be picking the hymns. I'll get off the hook, but you won't, Rick. All right, who else or what else? Well, we'll see how the Lord directs in our praying. All the way to North Carolina.